This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
The censorship machine has already begun to presidential candidates in 2024. We're going to have a repeat of 2020 all over again. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Thank you for being here today. It is the 79th anniversary of D-Day. We'll talk about that later in the show. I've got some ideas and some things I want to share with you, including General Dwight Eisenhower's message to the troops before the storming of the beaches of Normandy. So we'll talk about that as well. But I love talking about censorship, and particularly I always tell you about the collusion that happens between big tech and the government and the corporate media all the time. Jed Rubenfeld is a professor at Yale Law School and a First Amendment lawyer. He has given legal advice to the campaigns of Mr. Ramaswamy and RFK Jr. in non-campaign related matters, and he joins me now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Professor, thanks for making time. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. The big tech censorship machine is already running 2024. I mean, your piece today in the Wall Street Journal is excellent. It's also a big wake-up call. You say LinkedIn and Instagram have already suppressed both of those two candidates that I mentioned.
Yeah, pretty incredible. I mean, So Vivek Ramaswamy, who's, you know, candidate for president of the United States on the Republican side, tweeted out that LinkedIn had just, canceled his account, deplatformed him, apparently for the offense of expressing his opinions about China and climate change. And then a week later, just a few days ago, Meta, you know, formerly called Facebook, slapped 180-day suspensions on the Instagram accounts of Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s campaign, members who were trying to set up Instagram accounts, even though they hadn't yet posted a single message or anything at all to those accounts. So that's censorship of political campaigns, which, you know, really should be beyond the pale.
Absolutely, they should be. And we've seen now censorship. I mean, we all lived through 2020, the Hunter Biden laptop story, and big tech and their collusion to censor that story. And I guess, you know, as I think about all this, I wonder why these big tech companies have not learned their lesson here. And as you write, this censorship should worry anyone who cares about democracy in America. It isn't only anti-democratic. It's a thumb on the scale that could easily tip a tightly contested election. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, I think that in part because of what happened in 2020. I mean, we'll never know for sure, but the censorship of the Hunter Biden laptop story by several different, you know, huge internet platforms, including Twitter and Facebook, might possibly have tipped the outcome of that election. And, you know, I think those firms did learn a lesson from it, namely, they get away with it. A year later, the FEC, that's the Federal Election Commission, ruled that Twitter had not, you know, violated any rules by censoring that story. And the practical point there is that it took a year for the FEC to make a ruling. So they come out on, you know, Twitter's side. But the point is, that's way too slow to have any effect. We need We need laws and remedies that allow these candidates to take action in real time and, you know, get an injunction to stop these platforms from censoring them when it counts. That's what I was writing about.
And as you think about that, and I mean, you are an expert in the First Amendment, I'm sure somebody hearing that would think, well, but isn't it their First Amendment right to limit whatever speech they want on their platforms?
Yeah, well, it's very interesting, and that's a great point and a great question, Rich. So here's how it works. If the platforms are colluding with the government, with, say, the Biden administration or with any other agents or agencies of the government, that's a First Amendment violation. Then they're not private companies anymore. They're working in collusion with the government, and they are subject to the First Amendment. Now, if they are just acting privately, totally independently, then, you know, they are private companies, and they're not covered by the First Amendment. But here's what folks have to bear in mind, and people forget. Telephone companies are private companies too. But telephone companies cannot censor a political campaign. Telephone companies, Verizon, AT&T, they can't deny service to Bobby Kennedy's campaign or Vivek Ramaswamy's campaign. They can't discriminate against any users on the basis of political opinions that those phone companies don't like. People forget this. They think, oh, they're private companies. They can do anything they want. No, not necessarily. If you're a phone company, you're a common carrier, and you cannot legally discriminate against a political candidate or any speech on the basis of its opinion. And so what I was writing about in my piece is that we need a law that treats these platforms the same way we treat telephone networks. That's what's missing. We had laws. We still have laws that prevent telephone carriers from doing what these internet companies are doing. But internet platforms, they are also communications carriers. That's essentially what they are. They carry millions and millions of people's communications just the way telephone networks do. And, you know, they should we need a federal law that imposes the same restrictions on them, same no discrimination restrictions on them that we already impose on the telephone networks.
And of course, in my question, which you did an excellent job answering, the point of the government working with the Biden campaign, Matt Taibbi exposed all of that for us, how the Biden campaign was working with Twitter. And I would also argue that the FBI was also working with these social media companies. I mean, I think you had evidence here, clear evidence that the government itself, the Biden campaign and big tech were all in it together on this point of censoring speech from people. And there's no question in my mind that the FBI laid the groundwork for so much of what the media companies thought was going to be Russian propaganda when the Hunter Biden laptop story came out. Now, fast forward to where we are today, right now. What is the law and how does this apply to Section 230 of the 1996 Communications Decency Act? This idea of immunity. And you write that the mistake lies not in the immunity itself, but in giving the behemoth social media platforms the protections accorded to First Amendment speakers.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, this is a little complicated for your listeners. So, you know, let me try to spell it out. So, number one, if the government or when the government colludes with these internet platforms to suppress speech, Rich, that's just unconstitutional. And that famous Section 230, that does not apply. That doesn't kick in there. They have no protection under Section 230 if or when they're colluding with the FBI or with the administration to suppress political speech. That's just patently unconstitutional, and you can forget about Section 230. Now, Section 230 does kick in if and when they're acting on their own. So right now, you got a couple of states, Florida, Texas, that have passed laws saying that internet platforms can no longer discriminate on the basis of political opinion. I'm in favor of those laws. That's exactly the kind of law I'm saying the federal government needs to pass. Problem is, right now, those state laws, those might be trumped and preempted by Section 230, because Section 230 says you can't hold these platforms liable for anything they censor under some state law. So if state law does what Florida and Texas are trying to do, make these platforms liable when they censor folks based on their political opinions, Section 230 kicks in and says, sorry, those state laws don't apply. And at least that's what, you know, the internet platforms are arguing those cases. And we don't know how those cases are going to come out. That's why we need a federal law to do what Texas and Florida have already tried to do. If you can get that federal law, Section 230, amended to say, hey, no discrimination against political candidates or political opinions, then, you know, I'm fine with the Section 230 immunity. Section 230 immunity says you can't sue these platforms for, you know, libel or for what folks say on their platforms. And by the way, that's exactly what telephone networks have, that same immunity. You can't sue Verizon because somebody defamed you while talking on the phone on a Verizon network. And that's another way that these internet platforms are just like telephone networks. They get that same immunity. But the flip side, the price for that immunity should be that they don't get to discriminate and on the basis of political opinion. And that's what we need. That's, it's a simple fix. Amend Section 230. Don't have to take away their immunity. That's, you know, very important to them. But you do have to impose a no discrimination provision on them so that they can't be in the business of telling us, you know, what political opinions we can utter or hear, you know, on the, you know, huge social media platforms that form so much of public discourse today.
And Professor, the last question I have is, as you're saying all this, I can hear in the back of my head somebody like an Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez screaming about hate speech and how people under the guise of political opinions will use hate speech. And so so first of all, what's your point on that? And then I don't think that there's any validity to what she says here, but obviously that's what they're going to say if you impose something that says these companies cannot discriminate against political speech.
Well, you know, what folks have to remember is that what is called hate speech by a lot of people is just the expression of political opinions they don't like.
Right.
Hate speech is protected speech under the First Amendment. There is no category of hate speech that is suddenly not protected as free speech in our constitutional setup. That's just not a category. You got things like libel. You got things like incitement, perjury. Those are that's unprotected speech. But there's no such thing as hate speech. That's not an unprotected speech category. So, you know, people throw around this term hate speech like, oh, we all know you can't engage in hate speech. Well, actually, the First Amendment protects hate speech. So or what people are calling hate speech. So, you know, if they want to say that somebody's opinion about, you know, climate change or China is hate speech, well, you know, that's, they can say that, but they have a First Amendment right to express that opinion. They call it hate speech. But the person saying their opinions about China or climate change, that person has a total First Amendment right to express his opinion, too. So if those opinions, you know, if platforms have to carry those opinions, and I think that they should have to, you know, I think you just have to let folks call it hate speech, but you can't be deterred by that.
Yeah, immediately in my mind, as you said that, I kept thinking about how tweets about the COVID lab leak theory were suppressed and labeled hate speech. And then also, of course, you get into the road of misinformation. And this is this claim is not backed up by blah, 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 which, of course, they did during COVID. They do about climate change as well. This would go a long way towards solving that. Professor Jed Rubenfeld, thank you so much for joining me today. Your piece is excellent. Your opinions are great. And I would love to have you back on the show again soon.
Thanks so much. Anytime.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. So as we continue on the show today, 855-839-1210, the question is, will Merrick Garland, the Attorney General of the United States of America, will he indict former President Donald Trump? And remember, I told you years and years ago they were going to indict President Trump. And I remember a caller got mad at me for it. I said, don't get mad at me. It's my job to predict these things. It's not that I think he should get indicted. I don't. But that doesn't mean that they won't do it. In fact, if we've learned anything about this Department of Justice, this FBI, this particular attorney general, who's a political hack, it's exactly what they believe their function is nowadays, to engage in politics. 855-839-1210. So we'll talk about that as well. But listen, my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding have done so much for my home. When we first bought our house, the house we live in now, first thing it did, we needed a new roof. And I called Emmons and they came to the house. They gave me a free estimate. They did a great job. I have a lifetime warranty on my roof, which is amazing. And they did such a great job. I said, you know what? Let's also do doors and windows too. So they did. They replaced my doors, beautiful windows. They've done great work. Soon I'll have them do new siding for the house too. And my friends, Stephanie and Matt, the owners of Emmons Roofing and Siding, understand how tough times are today for a lot of people economically. So they're offering each and every one of my listeners 10% off plus 12 months, same as cash, to pay for it. That's right. It's an inflation relief discount. So you don't have to put off those badly needed repairs or a new roof or upgrades to your home. You can do it today with 10% off and 12 months to pay to give yourself that peace of mind. So if you're in the market for a new roof, roof repairs, siding or Anderson windows or doors, give Emmons a call today for a free estimate at 856-885-6677 or visit emmonsroofing.com and take advantage of their inflation relief discount and 12-month financing. Emmons is the company that I use and trust, and they should be your company too. It's emmonsroofing.com, E-M-M-O-N-S, emmonsroofing.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. The only show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, so as we have a busy Tuesday, 855-839-1210, the 79th anniversary of D-Day. As of yet, I don't believe the President of the United States has said a damn word about it. A damn word about it. Shocking. A little while ago, Jackie Heinrich tweeted that the press corps asked if he had anything to say. He said it's coming. The statement is coming from the President of the United States of America. So shocking there. Well, they don't want it to get in the way of Pride Month, obviously. This is what Jackie Heinrich said. She said there was a cabinet meeting, and as they were leaving the cabinet meeting, a bunch of reporters started shouting questions to the president. POTUS answers three questions in cabinet meeting as staff shouts over him for the press to leave. Number one, what's your message to Russia? His message is answer, we're not leaving. We're going to help Ukraine. All right? We're not leaving. President of the United States, we're not leaving. And I guess Congress has no say in the matter, so that's that. Number two, statement on D-Day? Question mark. It's coming is the answer. Number three, comment on the PGA merger. I'm planning on being in the PGA. The president says he probably has no idea what the hell she's talking about, or the reporter's talking about, with the PGA Live Golf merger that was announced today. He probably has no idea what that even means. He probably has no idea it's D-Day. Who are we kidding? And whatever statement the White House issues, it's not coming from him. You know, he could have said a couple of things right there from the heart, speaking from the heart about D-Day, but he can't. He's nothing to say. He's not allowed. He can't just say things, because if he does, he says stupid things and gets in trouble. So, well, he doesn't really get in trouble, but he should get in trouble. He says stupid things. So they don't let him talk. I mean, that's a deliberate strategy, you understand, is to make sure that Biden doesn't speak. It's not a coincidence that he has nothing to say about D-Day. He's not allowed anymore. They've turn around, please say nothing. All right. Don't say a word. And besides, he can't form thoughts on things like this without making it all about him. And that's the other thing about Joe Biden. He makes everything all about him. So probably on at least for the memory of all those who died on D-Day and for the survivors who are still with us, it's probably better that the president of the United States didn't say anything, quite frankly, in the cabinet room, because he would have said something stupid and embarrassing. Just the truth, he would have. And made it all about him. I mean, otherwise, speak from the heart and talk about what you think about D-Day and the people that are still with us in the greatest generation. But he can't. He's incapable of it. The question, of course, is, will former President Donald Trump be indicted by the most political attorney general in the history of the United States of America, Merrick Garland? That's the question. Senator Ted Cruz was on Sean Hannity last night, and I'm sure you probably didn't watch it because a lot of people are just not watching Fox News anymore ever since they fired Tucker Carlson. What's that?
I set my DVR.
Oh, you said, well, that's the rule. Yes, set your DVR. That's exactly right. If you didn't set your DVR, if you forgot, which is understandable, you missed this riveting interview, and you missed Ted Cruz's point on this, which is a point that I've been saying for a long time. I absolutely think the Department of Justice is going to go and indict him. It's not that he should. It's not that he should get indicted. It's just that these people are so freaking political. Cut five.
What we were seeing is multiple... The deep state waged war against Donald Trump. During the 4 years Trump was president, the deep state tried to do everything they could to destroy his presidency. Now those partisans are back in the open. They are brazen. They are running the Biden Justice Department, the FBI, the IRS. And Sean, it gives me no pleasure to say it. This Attorney General Merrick Garland is the most partisan. He is the most political Attorney General in our nation's history. And he has corrupted the Department of Justice. He has corrupted the FBI. He has corrupted the machinery of government. And they're perfectly willing to use it. It is effectively an arm of the DNC. The hypocrisy is massive. And mark my words, I believe Merrick Garland will indict Donald Trump. He wants to indict Donald Trump because he hates Donald Trump. He hates him. He's angry. Merrick Garland is angry that he wasn't confirmed to the Supreme Court. He wants to indict him. I think the plan was to indict him over classified documents. And then he got the enormous problem that Joe Biden seemed to have classified documents everywhere, including in the garage by his old Corvette. I don't think Merrick Garland will indict Trump over classified documents. Here's my prediction. He'll indict Trump over, quote, obstruction of justice for hiding the classified documents. Now, mind you, he's not saying the underlying classified documents were a crime because he'd have to indict Joe Biden, too. He's going to instead create a crime about a non-crime. That's going to be the basis of the indictment. And I think you're right. He will also indict Hunter Biden, but he'll do it on purely personal matters, dealing with drugs and guns and tax issues for Hunter that have nothing to do with Joe Biden, because this DOJ wants to protect and insulate Joe Biden and the Biden family's corruption, and they want to use Hunter Biden as a scapegoat to justify targeting Donald Trump.
I don't disagree with that. I really don't. And former President Trump tweeted out about the same thoughts and also made basically the same prediction here. And so I have no doubts about that. You know what's interesting, though? Mark Halperin, who is he's a total creep. If you remember, he was at MSNBC and then he started humping people in the lunchroom, like dry humping them. He would come. That's what he would do. He would come over and he would grind them. You don't remember this? The sleazy scandal about Mark Halperin, and I called him the dry humper for a long time because that's what he was accused of doing. Mark Halperin was dry. I'm not making this up. Mark Halperin was dry humping his coworkers while every cable network out there was carpet bombing the Democrat Party with Harvey Weinstein stories. That was the allegation about Mark Halperin, that he was a dry humper. What?
Sorry.
You got him all bright red in here. He's laughing so hard.
Well, he apologized.
Oh, well, then it's okay. Oh,
okay, yeah, I guess everything's fine. Never mind. Carry on.
He apologized for conduct that was often aggressive and crude. And by the way, dry humping is always aggressive and crude. Just for the record. All right? Just for the record. He did say some of the allegations that have been made against him are not true. I don't know if that's included or not. I don't know. That was the CNN report. So I'm just citing a CNN report that included anonymous allegations that Halpern had kissed female employees, grabbed one woman's breasts, and pressed his erect junk against all three women's bodies, all without consent. Halpern denied the allegations of grabbing breasts and pressing his junk against women, but acknowledged that his behavior was inappropriate and caused others pain. Since the report was published, several women have gone on the record with allegations of harassment, and so that's the thing. So ABC News got rid of him. Now, when he was there on ABC News, it was Mark Halpern and John Heilman, and they would also go on Morning Joe all the time, and they would bash Trump. As part of his changing his life now, he's wound up on Newsmax as an analyst. So he's a different person now. And he wrote a piece, The 16 People Who Will Pick the Next President. And he goes on about the people who are most in charge of this country. And actually, what I find pretty interesting about all of this is that a lot of this is nonsense. His ideas are kind of silly. Like, he's got Drudge up there as still an influencer. Drudge has nothing to do with it anymore. Kamala Harris, because that is what I think is the only part of this that's worth reading. He says, as long as there is a Biden-Harris reelect effort, there's going to be extreme madness, extreme pressure, and extreme speculation about how she might hurt the Democrats' chances of holding the White House and about replacing her on the ticket, including everything from the intriguing to the insane, such as Barack Obama for vice president. Every day, in every way, the Californian is going to have to prove to more of the American people that she is ready to step into the job and perform it brilliantly from day one. The importance of her mission is made no less vital and no less difficult by the fact that some of the greatest skeptics she has worked for are within 200 feet of her in the West Wing. So I'm just making that point. All right. I'm making that point. The dry humper has a point to a degree. The alleged dry humper has a point. I want to say that point. The alleged dry humper. I can't verify that one way or the other. What?
Thank you. For legal reasons, I'm glad you put alleged.
Yes. For legal reasons, I have to call him the alleged dry humper, Mark Halpern. And that's how I will refer to him going forward. And if I say, so let's practice just in case. See, this is why Matt DeSantis is the executive producer, just in case I mess up. So ready? Here's how. So dry humper Mark Halpern.
Alleged.
Thank you. Alleged dry humper Mark Halpern. See that? Like that. That's how we'll do it from now on.
All right. Perfect.
Let's try one more time. So dry humper Mark Halpern was saying that there are 16 people.
Alleged.
Alleged dry humper Mark Halpern was saying that there were 16 people who would choose the president of the United States. That's easy. I can do this.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Easy.
I like it. I like this system. Now we won't get in trouble.
We will definitely not get in trouble over that. And there's no way Mark Halpern can sue us because I put in that disclaimer that it was alleged.
We're not the only people reporting on those allegations.
Correct. CNN started it, so don't be mad at me. All right? Don't be mad at me. I got nothing to say here about you. Actually, I have a lot of things to say, and I just said them all, but anyway.
By the way, he had Joe Biden at number one, didn't he?
Well, yeah, but he says, Jill Biden, actually, yeah, Jill. Yeah, he writes, the first lady, again, this is 16 people who decide the next president. The first lady in every way, the Philly girl, will be called on repeatedly to make decisions about scheduling, personnel, messaging, and how to get her spouse the rest he needs along the way. No matter how many positive news stories Team Biden generates, he will always be one verbal or physical slip up from handing the White House back to Donald Trump, something Jilly feels in her bones. She knows where the bodies are buried, the weak links are, and how to tame the mysterious rhythms of a national campaign of which she has been through more than pretty much anyone in American history. Also, she is key if Hunter faces legal peril. Now, the fact that she knows where the bodies are buried is the only thing that's worthy of Joe Biden here in this whole thing. But Hunter Biden will face legal peril. There's no question about it, but it's going to be a slap on the wrist. That's all it is. It's going to be a slap on the wrist. That's all it's going to be. Because to the point of they are going to get Trump, then they have to also get Hunter Biden, but it's not going to be anything that really Hunter Biden would have to worry about. And I personally think, not to get all conspiratorial here, but I actually think that part of the reason why the charges against Hunter Biden would not be that are not going to be that bad is because they want Joe Biden out of the race. And I think that it's very obvious at this point. More and more evidence says Joe Biden will not be the nominee. And maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe I'll be proven wrong on this. But I truly believe that they want him out of this race. And I don't think they want Kamala Harris in there. And I think they're terrified that he's not going to be able to finish his term. Gee, what would ever make them believe that? And then they'd be stuck with her as president. So I think from two different fronts right now, they are very worried about Joe Biden being the nominee for the Democrat Party. It's a long way to go. He's not the he is running, but he's not the nominee yet. Just remember that. He's not the nominee yet. He still has to be nominated by the Democrat National Convention, which is not until next summer. That's a long way to go. Long way to go. Just making that point. But on the Hunter Biden stuff and on the allegation that Joe Biden, as Vice President of the United States of America, took a foreign bribe. I mentioned to you earlier, Chairman Jim Comer of the Oversight Committee had an exchange with a reporter over these FBI documents. Over the idea that the FBI is hiding something here. And you know that they are. You know that this Department of Justice, the very same Department of Justice that is going to come after former President Donald Trump as they try to stop him, is working to protect Joe Biden every single step of the way. Here's the exchange between Comer and that journalist. Take a listen.
The FBI again refused to hand over the unclassified record to the custody of the House Oversight Committee. And we will now initiate contempt of Congress hearings this Thursday. Given the severity and complexity of the allegations contained within this record, Congress must investigate further. Americans have lost trust in the FBI's ability to enforce the law impartially and demand answers, transparency, and accountability. The investigation is not dead. This is only the beginning. The FBI.
All right. This is only the beginning, he says. This investigation is not over yet. You have another clip, Matt? I'm not sure if you have another one there.
A second part here.
Okay, go ahead.
Why do you need the document in hand? You just got a chance to view it. So why do you need it? And why move forward with contempt when the FBI says they're cooperating in good faith?
Well, let's just look at what I've read in a lot of the media accounts and with statements that Ian Sams has made from the White House that, you know, there's no merit to this. This is crazy. This is a conspiracy theory. And you're just supposed to take my word or the FBI's word. I'm supposed to take the FBI's word that they're investigating this or that you're going to write that the source is unverified or whatever. Remember, The main reason they're not wanting to make this public is because they're concerned about the source.
They are concerned about the source, who is the quote-unquote confidential informant here. So there's a lot more to this, but make no, please, do not for one second underestimate what I'm telling you about the Department of Justice. Merrick Garland in particular has an axe to grind. Ever since he was passed up for the United States Supreme Court, this guy has made it his mission to be a political hack. And he's doing a great job of being a political hack. The one thing you can say about Merrick Garland is he's meeting his goal. And whenever you have a goal in life, you got to make sure you achieve it. Well, Merrick Garland's goal was to be a partisan political hack and not an independent attorney general. And he is doing a heck of a job with that. 855-839-1210. Listen, Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill has an incredible offer for you now. If you are a Costco member, right now Costco members can save $2,500 on the XC40 or $1,000 on other models. Now, these can be combined with other offers, so just see store for details. What I love about Cherry Hill Volvo are the people. I love driving my Volvo. I really do. And, you know, if you are not happy with the car for any reason, like let's say, you know, after 5 months, you say to yourself, I think I want to change to a different Volvo. Well, with Care by Volvo, you can do that. See, I'm driving the S60 now, but in 5 months, maybe I want to go back to an SUV. Because I do love the SUV. Maybe I'll do that. Care by Volvo is an incredible lease program that gives you the flexibility because your payments include insurance, prepaid scheduled maintenance, tire and wheel care, 15,000 miles annually, excessive wear coverage, and more. And after just 5 months, you have the option to change to a different Volvo, keep the Volvo you have, or even cancel the lease altogether. And relationships matter, Cherry Hill Volvo. They prove that every single day. Now, my wife loves driving her XC90. She loves it because it's the family car with that third row. Incredibly spacious and, of course, super safe for all the summer road trips. The luxury experience you deserve is waiting for you at Cherry Hill Volvo. Judith, Yosef, and the entire team look forward to meeting you and taking great care of you, just like they did with me. Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships matter.
Thanks for listening to the Zioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
All right, so are UFOs real? That is a question. I don't mean unidentified flying objects or aerial phenomena, as they're called now, but I mean actual little green men or aliens or whatever else. Well, UFO whistleblower David Grush reveals that the government is actually in possession of something pretty valuable. Now, we're hoping to get him on the show at some point, but he was on with News Nation. It's a little bit of a longer cut, so I'm going to do it in the 5 o'clock hour, but you definitely want to hear this, what this guy is saying, what this guy is alleging. Big deal, it really is, and I'm not surprised by any of it in any way, shape, or form. I'm not surprised, so I'll talk to you about that as well. And here's the question about talk radio and AM radio. Now, perhaps you're driving in the car right now, and you are listening to me on the radio, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, 1210 AM. And obviously, there's lots of different ways to listen. You can listen on the Odyssey app, through Apple CarPlay, if you want, if you don't have AM radio in your car, for example, or you just like the sound of the app, or you love restarting apps. Like, maybe that's your thing.
Odyssey app is number one in the world of people who love to restart applications.
See, now you should not engage in this conversation. You're not doing yourself any favors. I'm a little bit harder to get rid of, but
sorry, it is frustrating. I listen to the station via the app as well, and it's always crashed.
Well, you know, the thing they could do is, you know, fix it. You know, if enough people complain, it might be a problem.
I'm sorry, we love the app. The Odyssey app is wonderful. You should download it. You should use it. It doesn't crash that frequently. Like, you could probably get 15, 20 minutes in without any problems whatsoever.
It might take you to the station you want to be listening to. It might not. Who knows? It's a nice mystery.
We love the app. The app is great. I can't say enough good things about it. I'm just joking.
I understand. Let me rephrase. Perhaps you're listening on AM, on 1210 AM. Perhaps you're listening on the Odyssey app through Apple CarPlay or Google Play or whatever, because you enjoy listening to an app that you have to restart.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Constantly.
That alleged.
Allegedly. I'm the worst employee ever. I really am the worst. But you two don't need to get it, my muck. I don't want my muck getting on the two of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, now I'm going to get in trouble too.
Yeah, you will get in trouble. That's the problem. At this point, they figured out that there's nothing they can do. They just roll their eyes. But with you guys, you'll get serious reprimands.
Oh, well.
Of course, that would require corporate to listen, and we know that they don't. So don't worry about it.
I retract everything I said in case corporate is listening.
It's completely retracted, Matt DeSantis. Don't worry about a thing. What Henry said, though, however, they're listening back on the Odyssey app. Oh, wait, it just crashed again. They got to restart it.
I regret nothing.
So the issue of AM radio in cars, there's an effort now underway to save it. But do I think that there's a concerted effort to shut down conservative talk radio in this country? Yes, I do. No question about it. I absolutely do believe that. And I think that when they failed years ago at getting the fairness doctrine, which would say that for every opinion expressed, you'd have to have an alternative opinion. When they failed to do that, and when lefty talk radio plummeted. I mean, literally plummeted. Air America, years ago, with all of the big names in lefty world, Janine Garofalo, Al Franken, a whole bunch of others, and it was a huge flop. Because you don't need lefty talk radio. The media, the corporate media, is your lefty talk radio, whether it's on TV or there's no need for an alternative opinion. Talk radio exists and does well because you need to have a place to come for an alternative opinion to the nonsense that the corporate media spoon feeds you I mean, you know this now. Now, luckily, there's other ways for you to get that different opinion besides radio. What I love about AM radio is the intimacy of the conversation. TV, they're always going to commercial break, and the segments are short, and it's, you know, you're bopping around and everything. Talk radio, especially in afternoons, which is why I love being back in afternoon drive, you can really go deep into a topic. You can go deep into a topic, and that's a beautiful, beautiful thing as well. But you have to think about, can you save AM radio? As more automakers now are looking to get rid of it, how do you save it? What can you do? Well, Ted Cruz talked about this with Sean Hannity. He said this on Twitter. His idea to keep talk radio and why talk radio has to stay. And you did hear it at the CBS News at the top of the hour, where they interviewed a person from the New Jersey State Police who said it's essential for public safety and emergencies as well. Cut eight.
What we were seeing is multiple car makers that were announcing they were going to pull AM radio from their new cars, primarily electric vehicles, but it was moving to gas-powered vehicles also. And I think that would be a terrible development. Nationally, mm-hmm. there are about 4,500 AM stations nationwide. About 82 million Americans listen to AM radio every month. It is incredibly useful in a time of national emergency, in a time of a disaster. When you see the power go down, FM radio goes down sometimes, and often the emergency instructions people need, AM radio is the only way they can get it. Not only that, AM radio is an oasis where talk radio flourishes. And I think a big part of the reason you saw these big companies pulling AM radio down is they don't want people listening to you. They don't want people listening to Sean Hannity or Mark Levin. They don't want talk radio. They want to control the airwaves. And so I joined with Ed Markey, who may be the most liberal Democrat in the entire U.S. Senate. And the two of us introduced a bill in the Senate to require that AM radio be made available so consumers have a choice. And I got to say, within days of our introducing that bill, Ford Motor Company, one of the biggest motor companies on the face of the planet, reversed its announcement and said it would include AM radios on all new cars. That's a big victory for consumers. You ought to be able to decide what you want to listen to.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that when you are talking about the government requiring private manufacturers to do something, and I do have a reflexive problem with that. However, when it comes to cars, the government requires them to do things all the time. It requires airbags. It requires all these safety features, all these things. These are all federal standards, you know, emission standards and mileage standards and everything else. So sadly to say, that horse is out of the proverbial barn in terms of the government telling manufacturers, auto manufacturers, what to do. I don't like it. I still don't like it. I'd rather just the companies do it themselves than have the government force them to do it. I'd rather consumers speak up. But I also understand the legitimate public safety point that people make, which is that you need to be able to reach people in an emergency. AM radios can do that. But again, I don't like them forcing the government to do, or the government forcing automakers to do anything. I don't like the government forcing anybody to do anything. So I do, part of me really doesn't like that. I do understand, though. I mean, when it comes to these things, whether it's washing machine, dishwasher, and what this standard and that standard, we've lost that a long time ago. But I'd be a little hypocritical if I stood up and cheered when I liked when the government was telling private companies to do something. You know what I mean? I would be a little hypocritical if I said that. So I don't want to say that. I'm just sharing with you what some of the efforts are underway to do it. I would rather people speak up. I'll give you a great example. Elon Musk took AM radio out of Teslas on this stupid idea that they interfere with his, right? His whole thing, whatever the electromagnetic field is or whatever on Teslas. Since Elon Musk bought Twitter, we've seen a lot of improvements. We've seen a lot of great progress. He's become a stalwart defender of freedom of speech. When things happen, like Matt Walsh's What is a Woman on Twitter, and then Twitter censored it, and then Elon Musk found out about it and reinstated it right away, leaving that person to quit in protest, that's a good thing. I hope somebody close to Elon Musk can make him aware of how essential talk radio is on AM radio, and I hope that Elon Musk will consider putting it back in Teslas or electric vehicles in general. If there's anybody who can figure out that issue, if there really is an actual issue going on here, if there's anyone who can figure it out, it's that guy. You know what I mean? It's Tony Stark, the real life Tony Stark. So I hope he does, because I really don't like laws forcing things. So I hope that that happens. I also think, too, that the industry itself is going to change to a degree. AM radio is going to move to the FM in a lot of different places, because the one thing I know about 1210, WPHD, is we make the company money. We do, thanks to you, because you actually patronize our advertisers. As music radio stations continue to struggle as the years go on, because you have all these various different ways to listen to music, yes, there's people who can listen to podcasts, but music radio on FM, I think, has a much bigger challenge in the future than AM radio does for talk radio. And so I think you're going to see AM stations probably move to the FM as time goes on as well. So I'm not too worried about it from that perspective. I really am not worried particularly about talk radio as much as I used to be, and I'll tell you why. And you see this with Tucker Carlson. And I noticed this too on the trip the other day, the Fans of Philly trip. You know, I'm with 120 Zioli Army members. We're riding the buses, and I went to all three different buses and spent time with everybody. We're drinking beers. We're hanging out. We're having a great time. We're making jokes. And it's just an incredible relationship. Everybody feels like they know each other. And people come up to me and they tell me, you know, Rich, your kids, I feel like they're my niece and my nephew. And how's Patrick? How's Claire? How's Reagan? It's great. The level of connection that you have with me is something that they can't take away at this point. And you see that with Tucker and Fox News. It used to be about the platform. And I think that particularly with talk radio and with conservative personalities in general, it's about the person. It's about the personality. And you'll find that person wherever he is. You'll find him. And so that also makes me happy, too. If tomorrow I got canceled, which is, any day it's a flip of the coin as far as I'm concerned. You know what I mean? Because I seem to play with the fates. I think you'll find me again very, very easily. I think you would. And then there's also the rebellion factor that comes from, and you're seeing this with Tucker's audience a lot, too. Oh, you got rid of him? Okay, well, then I'm done. You see that happen. But I also don't worry as much as I used to, because I do think AM radio for talk radio is not going to be in the future as essential as it once was, because I think that music stations will find to be less profitable as time goes on, sadly, and that AM stations will take their place. Talk radio will take their place. I see that as the future of radio in general, because there still is a thing about people like to listen to live and local talk radio in their car. And a podcast is great, I think, except for if you want to hear breaking news and you want to hear the issues and you want to hear going in depth on the issues and that sort of thing, you may want to hear that live. Now, that said, if you can't listen live, and I heard from a number of people last weekend who said, Rich, I can't listen in the afternoons. I get the podcast. Good. Do that. Excellent. And you can listen anytime you want. And I'm thrilled that the success of our podcast, of the Rich Zioli Show, has been tremendous since we moved to afternoons back in October. So thank you for that. And on that note, please like it, download it, rate it if you would, give it 5 stars. And Lily, if you're listening, I hope you finally wrote that review, my friend. I'm counting on you. Lily, Kat, and Ron, we were riding the bus together, and they promised. So I better see it. Do that for us, because you really are a marketing department. I'm counting on you there. So I'm not as worried as I used to be, and I don't think government mandates are necessary in this, and I don't want to be a hypocrite and say when it affects me, I'm for the government telling private entities what to do. So anyway, that's my little rant on that. 855-839-1210 is the number if you'd like to weigh in. Let's see. Mark says, whenever I see that 1210 is pro-free speech, I laugh. 1210 only allows the right to speak. I'm a moderate liberal, and usually they refuse to put me on. When I do get on, the commentator does not allow me to make my point, either changing the subject or doing that Fox-style laugh. I don't know who he's talking about, but I'm blaming you for this, Matt DeSantis, that you didn't put him on the show, and that when you did, you made me laugh over him.
Well, I know he's not talking about our show because we don't take calls.
Bang.
So we're in the clear.
Greater Chris says, Matt commenting on the Odyssey app sounds like a hostage video. Matt complimenting the Odyssey app. Very good.
I love the Odyssey app. I don't know what he's talking about.
MAGA MAGA Man says, I've had to restart the Odyssey app 4 times so far. That's it?
It's a good day.
Yes, and Hube says, great point. How is being in our car the only way to live if they no longer include AM radio? That's a very good point as well. In an emergency, you probably want to get out of the car as quickly as possible. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli, if you want to weigh in. Henry, can I exercise one of my... I don't have a skip. Oh, I don't have to do a skip. We can go right to Nonstop Talk. All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll go to a half hour of Nonstop Talk coming your way straight ahead.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.